Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant McCauley, who joins us every single Wednesday at 12:20, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate, 855-299. Sold. Grant, how are you?
What up, G?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good. Enjoyed the win last night for sure. Always extra fun to come back and beat the Mets. Did the Braves get a new little rallying cry slogan last night, courtesy of Pete Alonso?
I can tell you the T-shirts are already being printed, I would imagine so. They're on the way. They're on the way. I've got a buddy that does a really great job of that, and I am sure I'll be sporting that on one of my upcoming YouTube shows. But either way, it's you know this rivalry has, I don't know, its own little quirks and whatnot, but it may have been one of the weirdest things ever to watch somebody, you know, talking smack to Bryce Elder, one of the quietest, goes about his business, humble, soft-spoken, just out here just doing what I can do to help my team win, not flashy, not a showboat, no fist pumping, no nothing. You got him. You got it. He threw the slider. You got it. Congratulations, Pete. That's super. That's your 22nd home run. That's really great. But I don't understand why it turned into the taunting for the dugout, because I don't care about watching the homers, you know, whatever your celebration is around the bases, you know, the stutter step into third, the low five, whatever it is. All of that stuff is completely fair game. Where I don't enjoy, and Randy, maybe you can weigh in on this, I don't know, but when it goes from we're celebrating the accomplishment and winning on the field of battle to now I'm going to taunt you and I'm just going to make fun of you from the side and from the safety of the dugout as well. When you're the biggest guy on the field, the whole thing was just comically ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, it really was. But what did the young guy show you after that? Because he was, I mean, and he pitched pretty good yesterday also, but he's been lights out the last couple starts. Got a little rocky, got, like he said, Lonzo got him and Lindor got him. But what did you see from him as far as putting his head down to continue to pitch?
That's really what I saw, and that's the maturation process of a big league, you know, pitcher. That's, they're going to get you sometimes, and you know, you may come in leading the league in ERA and then leave, and somehow they added a third to a half a point to your ERA, and then you come out and just keep grinding away. But more so than the, you know, personal accolades and accomplishments and all that stuff, that Bryce Elder has certainly begun to amass a little bit of that, and certainly the attention he deserves for it. He did exactly what you need him to do, and that's stop them from scoring from that point on. Give the offense a chance to get back in the game. Hand it over to the bullpen, and hopefully they can, you know, pass that baton along. And that's exactly what they did. The Mets got one hit after Pete Alonso decided to open his mouth and do the throw it again nonsense. And they might have thought that was funny, and they had a 4-1 lead. But now they got a four-game losing streak because the Braves were able to find the runs that they needed to come back in that game. And the Mets offense, which, as it's been for most of the season, has been very feast or famine, and they did not get quite enough to feast on a win against the Atlanta Braves last night.
I hope they never learn. Like, the Mets do stuff like this. It blows up in their face at the hands of the Braves often, and they continue to do it, and I hope they never learn because it's great. Let's take a step back a couple of days earlier in the week with the Mike Soroka news. What do you think it was that he was doing in AAA that he wasn't doing here that led to them not believing that he could figure it out at the major league level, all the way having to send him back to AAA?
I don't think that he really did anything differently, but what happens is when you come up to this level, major league hitters are going to make you pay when you're not in command, when you're not executing your pitches, when you maybe have some things that just are non-competitive, like his secondaries were against the Arizona Diamondbacks. He was leaving the fastball up a lot. He wasn't able to put guys away with two strikes. I mean, those are the things that you have to be able to do at the big league level. And it's not a stuff question. It's not a, well, he needs to go learn a new pitch. I mean, we're talking about a guy that just needs to refine. And the only way to refine is to have the reps. And I kind of felt like, and obviously the Braves saw this differently, there was a nice opportunity to give him like a kind of a three-start run between Oakland, Arizona was going to be the tough one, and then you got the Washington Nationals at home. That's when I thought they would kind of look at it and say, okay, now we can assess what we've seen. But the Arizona start was troublesome because he wasn't getting any swings and misses. The command was kind of all over the place. It really wasn't there for him, and he eventually got into some trouble against Arizona the second and third time through the lineup. And that ultimately, I think, is what the Braves looked at and said, okay, well, we've got to at least – we've got to cover these innings. We've got to go with the best chance to get five, if not six or more innings out of whoever's taking the ball for us that day. They've tried the bullpen game thing. That doesn't work. They're trying to normalize this bullpen. A.J. Minter's starting to show some signs of getting back to, you know, who he could be and who the Braves need him to be, among other things. And Raisel Iglesias is also looking pretty good here lately too. So, you know, A.J. Smith-Shawver just kind of pitched his way, I think, into an opportunity by going up against that Arizona lineup, the teeth of that lineup, and really limiting them, you know, through that two and a third innings. Now, the question will be, and I think it's a valid one, but he has big-time stuff. Can he get through second and third time through the order? And what exactly are the Braves going to look for to get out of him that Michael Soroka couldn't give you? And I think it's just a more competitive pitch mix at this time. And it's an upside play. And obviously the Braves are trying to win every game they can. They're just not in a place where they can afford to bring somebody or plural somebodies along to kind of figure things out at the big league level. I just thought Soroka might get another start to really decide before this decision was made. But you have to factor in A.J. Smith-Shawver. Clearly, he's a big piece of this puzzle, and the Braves are going to give him that opportunity this weekend.
Are you surprised by that, Grant? I mean, he did go three innings, and all of a sudden he gets his next time. The next time he'll appear, he'll be starting. Are we surprised by that fast track?
Not too much, because that's his role. But it was when the Braves brought him up, I mean, you heard everybody to a man saying, well, we feel like this is the same situation that we had Spencer Strider in, where he's a starting pitcher. We view him as a starting pitcher, but we kind of need a long man right now. The arm is so good, we want to have him around. And you just kind of add it up, and then somebody struggles or stumbles. At least you have an insurance policy now, whereas, as we talked about with the bullpen games and obviously the injuries to Freed and Wright, you know, you've kind of been, and Ian Anderson's not a factor this year because he had Tommy John. Like, all this depth that you thought you had kind of went away. So A.J. Smith-Shawver, who began the season, by the way, in Rome, he's 20 years old, won't turn 21 until November, is going to get that opportunity to come up and become one of the youngest pitchers to debut in the Atlanta Braves era of Braves baseball. So it's a pretty cool thing, and the youngest one since Julio Teheran way back in 2011. So this is a neat opportunity, but if you saw what he did against Arizona, you can tell why exactly the Braves are so intrigued with this arm and ready to give him the chance.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking about the Braves' win last night over the Mets. Looking forward to tonight as well. Now, when Austin Riley was kind of going through a little bit of a struggle a couple of weeks ago, we asked you if there were indicators that were showing you that maybe it was coming out of it, and there were. Mm-hmm. Are there with Michael Harris right now? Like, because it some of these at bats just look like he's pretty lost. Are there things that are telling you maybe he's going to snap out of this pretty quickly, or what's going on with him?
Well, I don't know how quickly it's going to happen, but I've felt like the last week or so for him has been much better approach wise, results wise. He had that one game in Arizona where he had four hard hit balls. I believe it was 97 miles an hour was the softest one he hit, and three of them were well over 100. But he got robbed by Corbin Carroll of an extra base hit in the gap. It lined one that got turned into a double play. I mean, he's hitting the ball harder to that left side and over, and that, I think, is kind of the key to him. He had that opposite field homer right before the road trip, had the hardest hit ball of his career against the Oakland Athletics in the game, directly at the right fielder. He's hitting the ball hard again rather than rolling over to second base, which was a real problem the first few weeks of the season. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't think it did him any favors to start the season, come in, sit for 3.5 weeks, come back, hurt his knee, play with a brace. He's probably just now, over this last like week or 10 days, getting the opportunity to maybe feel like he is kind of all the way back and can get himself on track. He's up out there hitting early before the games. He's worked with Chipper Jones. Obviously, that approach to the left side, you can tell that that's kind of the influence that you get from a guy like Chipper, the all-fields approach. And I just feel like the talent's there, and the talent is going to break through. And you'd love to see it happen sooner, But it's just one of those things that in baseball you have these peaks and valleys, and Michael's unfortunately been in the valley a little bit longer, and I think it's more noticeable because he didn't spend much time going through this last year. Right. It seemed like any time he went in a 2-for-20, all of a sudden it was, hey, here's a 3-hit game with a home run, a stolen base, and a great catch by Michael Harris. He's back. But he hasn't had that done yet. But he's only 22, so the league is still getting to know him a little bit, but the book may be out, and now it's the game of adjustments, and I think Michael Harris is more than capable of making those.
Oh, let's hope so, man, because you know how much we love him on – not us, hell, how much Atlanta loves this young boy because homegrown has all the tools to be a great one. Grant, real quick, the defensive effort sometimes with this team is a little shaky at times. And I remember I talked to you beginning of the year about some of just little things that you would see. I mean, are we a little surprised by, you know, some of the blunders that maybe Austin Riley's having lately?
No, I think that for the most part, a lot of that's normalized because you know, there's going to be some plays that, you know, and with Riley, I don't know that he's ever going to be a Gold Glove winner, but there'll be some plays that just kind of don't go his way. They don't have that night where he makes 2 or 3 just outstanding plays. And I think it ultimately just evens out in the wash. But when you got Orlando Arcia back after his absence, that I felt like stabilized the infield tremendously. Ozzie's been very good. I think, Matt Olson at times, and he's got a Gold Glove. There's a couple of plays that you're just like, man, was that a bad hop or what's going on there? And then, of course, we had that series in Toronto where there was a day where nobody wanted to catch a fly ball. So we haven't seen too much of that. And I do feel like the Braves are a team that Michael Harris is probably the best defensive player that they've got without question. Sean Murphy up there in that category as well. But you don't see him running around and diving into the gap to make plays. His value is different. But I do think that this is a club that does have the defensive pedigree and skill set to play better than they have at times this year. And that's going to be a big key as the summer heats up and this pennant race gets rolling. You got to make the plays. They got to score runs. We've been talking about that a lot. I think the pitching staff is kind of starting to figure some things out and get some stability. You got to play good defense to help those guys out too.
Grant, we appreciate it.
G-Man.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.